Yes, indeed. And I am joined by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Teresa, good to see you again.
Good morning, Denny. It's great to see you.
I haven't seen you for a while.
I know.
You have fun at the fair?
I had a great time at the fair. We had wonderful crowds. Thank you to everybody who stopped by at the dirt stage and to the Master Gardener booth. The Master Gardeners love talking
kept
to the public.
Kept you busy, didn't they?
It kept us busy, yeah. It was great.
Mm-hmm. Now, for some folks that don't know, you and your colleagues from the U of M, we had a survey. Right?
We did.
About this show.
We had a survey, yep.
Mm-hmm. And what was the question? What were we requesting of them?
There was a lot of great feedback, and I really appreciate that. One that really caught my eye was people were asking for, give us like a list of, you know, just a few things we should be doing. And then I thought, why not a list of a few things that we shouldn't be doing? So here's the list of the things you should be doing right now. If you love gardening, maybe you want to become a master gardener. Now's the time to apply. Now is a great time for lawn care, so you want to reseed your lawn if it's thin. You'll be thinking about fertilizing and aeration. That's all what you need to do this time of year. Keep mowing. If it's dry, keep watering. Planting bulbs is a great time, so get those daffodils and tulips and all those minor bulbs in so you have beauty in the spring. And now is a great time to get deals on perennials and trees and shrubs and get those in the garden.
Well, it's a good time of year
for that. It's a great time. Get them in so you have 6 to 8 weeks for them to get rooted out and before the ground freezes, and make sure that you mulch them and keep watering them. Now, what you should not be doing now.
Oh, you have that list too.
I have that list too. No pruning. Put the pruning shears down.
Ah,
leave it alone.
Why is
no
that?
Pruning. Because the plants are getting ready to become dormant.
Mm.
And when you cut, you cause a chemical reaction that says I should grow or the plant should grow. So instead of bringing energy and carbohydrates down into its root system, uses that energy to make new growth, which isn't going to make it through the winter. And you've also depleted the root stores. Don't forget to harvest your vegetables. If you have bare soil, make sure you're covering your bare soil. Clean out. What else did I write here? My writing's so bad. And don't forget to keep watering and no fertilizing.
No fertilizing.
No fertilizing. No pruning.
But you can still fertilize your lawn.
You want to fertilize your lawn.
Yeah.
Yes, your lawn, you can do the one winterizer, but nobody else gets food. No, and nobody else gets pruned.
I'm glad you told me that because I was about to do that.
Yep, no fertilizing. Yep.
The watering, I was thinking about the damage that a lot of folks in their boxwoods had last
year. It's really important, especially if you have evergreens, to keep watering. Now, I don't mean to like water 24/7, but you want to make sure everything gets an inch of moisture between you and Mother Nature about every week. So you have to figure out when it's raining, snowing, whatever, until the ground's frozen.
Okay.
And if the ground doesn't freeze till January, I want to see you out there watering.
Okay.
You can put down, you can take the hoses back in, but you got to be watering if
you
that
really,
ground's not
you
frozen.
You really mean business.
I mean business.
Okay.
Gosh darn it, people.
Well, I'll tell you what, those are great tips, and we'll repeat those too before you leave us today. But we have callers, we have texters.
Excellent. Let's get those callers.
Let me give you that correct phone number and the text number out your way. Both, the same number applies to both. 651-989-9226 for your phone calls. Or text messages, 651-989-9226. Shall we go to it?
Let's go to it.
All
and
right.
Just put that on speed dial, like number one. So
there you
can
go.
Always just
say
it. Then you don't have to remember it.
Sharon in Eden Prairie, I believe, is first up here. Sharon, thanks for calling. What's your question?
Hi, Sharon.
Well, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. I've heard so much about the endless summer hydrangea.
Mm-hmm.
And about 30 years ago, I planted one.
Mm-hmm.
And that year, it was red, and everyone wondered why I had a red endless summer.
Right.
So I, in the years on now, I would trim it back sometimes in the fall, nothing. Then I would wait a couple years, trim it back in the spring, nothing. Well, this year, this past year, I trimmed it in the spring. And wouldn't you, lo and behold, I have no clue, but I have the most beautiful blue mop head like. Now,
wonderful.
are they supposed to be the mop head? The endless summer.
The endless summer is it's round. It is the round ones.
It's huge.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely gorgeous. But I only have one.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you say you trimmed it in the spring?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Yeah. And did you trim the whole thing down or just some of it?
All of it.
All of it. Okay. All right. So it blooms on new and old wood. And endless summers, they need a little more sun than we thought they did in the beginning. And they are very heavy feeders. So you want to make sure they're getting a little more sun and that you are fertilizing as soon as they come out of dormancy in the spring. And then maybe a granular one, so it lasts about 30 days. So do it every month up until August 1st. Give them a little bit of nutrition. And also composting is good. Keep watering them. And usually I say trim things in the spring because then you can just cut out the dead wood that didn't make it through the winter rather than bringing everything down in the fall. But that's what it needs, a little more fertilizer, maybe a little more sun. Good luck.
Thank you, Sharon. Thanks for the call. 651-989-9226. Send a text if you prefer. Back to the phones we go. Ann is calling from Matamita, I believe, with a question for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Hi, good morning, Ann.
Good morning, Ann.
Good morning. I was just wondering what you use to disinfect the baskets that you have around your tomatoes.
Okay, so you can use like a 10% bleach solution. Okay. I think you could probably also use, there's some people use the hydrogen peroxide, but I don't know how they use that. Also, you could use the disinfectant wipes. So you do want to take care of that. If you've had any kind of tomato diseases, that's a really good question. But the 10% bleach solution that you'd use on your pots works just fine.
Okay, very good.
Good question.
Texter says this, Teresa, my nine bark Diablo bushes grow like crazy. How often can I trim them? Monthly? Maybe they're growing out and block my sidewalk.
they are a big plant. Go ahead and prune them now again. It's too late. You can prune them back a little bit just so you can get to your sidewalk all winter long. But yeah, you can prune those all summer long if you want. That's not a problem. Again, finish your pruning by August 1st.
Okay. Another texter, and then we'll get back to the phones. Roots need to get a good start. Can I repeat the growth stimulator solution on the perennials I planted weeks ago?
You know, I don't really know if the root stimulator will work if you do it again. I don't know how to address that question. I would probably call the people that make the root stimulator and ask them. Otherwise, really just having a good soil with a lot of microbial activity, that will be your best bet. Make sure you keep them well watered, that they're in a good soil, that you're not using a lot of heavy salts and things like that. That should help those roots grow very well.
Okay. Back to the phones we go. Tom is calling from Burnsville, Minnesota, with a question. Tom, you're on with Teresa.
Hey, Tom.
Hi, thank you. You talked about seeding the lawn. How important is it to lay down some black dirt at this time before throwing grass seed out there? Is there a rule of thumb for that?
There's not a rule of thumb. What you'd want to do is cut your grass short, rake it up so you have as much bare soil available as possible. And if you want, instead of putting down black dirt, maybe put down a little compost and then get that damp, but then put down your seeds. Make sure you have really good seed-to-soil contact or seed-to-compost contact. So you've got to press them into it. You don't want to cover them. They need to see the light to germinate. So you want to press them in and then just keep watering, you know, 3, 4, 5 times a day, just little sprinkles. You just want to keep that top layer just slight, just moist to break that seed coat. So only if you have really bad soil or you have a divot that you need to put down the black dirt. Otherwise, I would just top dress with compost because you're adding organic matter to your lawn is always helpful.
You mentioned Texter says not to prune at the beginning of the program. Does that include perennial plants or just bushes and things like that?
Well, your perennials, you know, I wouldn't be pruning them until they die from the frost. Then you can prune that back if you must. They shouldn't need pruning right now. If you're deadheading for more flowers, I hate to tell you, winter will be here and you're probably not going to get more flowers. So there's really no reason to prune back. If anything's dead, you can prune it back. Or if a branch has died, you can always prune back dead.
All right, very good. You know what we need to do? Take a quick break.
All right.
Teresa Rooney, Master Gardener, is with us answering your questions, as usual, by phone and by text. Same number applies, 651-989-9226. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, welcoming your phone calls and text messages about lawns and gardens. And as usual, Teresa, we have a bunch of them.
Excellent.
But you mentioned at the top of the show, would you hit that mic button?
That will help.
That works better.
Yes.
You don't have to yell.
No.
about the Master Gardener program, and we did get a text saying, how and where do I apply to be a Master Gardener?
Okay, I would go online to just Google Master Gardener, whatever county you're in, and they'll have the instructions right there.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. That's all you got to do.
We may repeat that before you leave us.
And if you don't have a computer, you can figure out the phone number for your Master Gardeners and call them.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very good. All right. We have callers as well. Speaking of calling, let's see who's been waiting. It would be Ann calling from Buffalo. Ann, you're on with Teresa.
Good morning, Ann.
Thank you. My question is it too late to be transplanting like hosta and peonies and phlox or anything?
Absolutely not. It's the perfect time. If something's blooming, it's not the best time, but all of those plants that you mentioned are really hardy. So go ahead and transplant.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Ann. Let's see who's next. It would be Barb calling from Hansford. I think, Barb, you're on CCO with Teresa.
Hi, Barb.
Hello, Barb.
Hi.
Can we help you, Barb?
I'm calling because of that. I had this that praying heart flower. It bloomed now, but it's now there's another one I think that's coming with it.
Okay.
What do I do with this one that's already bloomed?
Okay, is that a bleeding heart? Did you say or?
It's a praying heart. Praying heart.
Okay, I don't know what a praying heart is, but once a plant has finished blooming, you can cut those blooms off, and often that will let a new bloom come back. So once it's finished with that icky bloom that's all yucky, you can go ahead and cut that off. Cut it back so that you don't see like a stick out there. You want to cut it back to a leaf or way back to the center of the plant, just so it looks nice and tidy, and then that's all you got to do.
Texter wants to know, when and how should I divide hosta in the fall?
You can divide them. You can dig the whole plant up. You can divide it into as many pieces as you want. You get the little points on it, and then you want to plant each one out. Same depth as it was before. If you have a heavy clay soil, you may want to raise it up just a little bit so they don't get a crown rot. Or you can just, some people just cut down like a side of it and take out a clump of it. And so they have a lopsided hosta this year, and then they just move that little bit on. So it's up to you however you want to do it.
Another text says this, is there anything I can do with the soil in our tropical hibiscus so there won't be so many bugs when we bring it inside the house for the winter?
Well, I don't know what kind of bugs you have in the soil, but you could use water with a little bit of insecticidal soap. Add that to the water that you water. But any bugs in the soil, I'm not quite sure what kind of bugs you're having in there. Just clean up the pot really good and keep it segregated from the rest of the plants when you bring it into the house. If you're getting a lot of little flies or little things that jump up when you water, just maybe you can top dress your soils with a little bit of sand, and then that will dry it out and you won't have those in the soil.
All right. Let's go to Prior Lake. I think Mike has been waiting there for a question. Go ahead, Mike. Thank you.
Hi, Mike.
Good morning. We have at our lake home up near Onamia, we have a real bad problem with creeping Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
So wondering what kind of an ideas do you have to eradicate that?
Sure. Fall is one of the best times to get rid of your broadleaf weeds. For the creeping Charlie, use a product that says it will kill creeping Charlie. Make sure that if you're applying it over a tree root system or near your garden. Now, you don't, anything in your garden, those are broadleaf plants too. So if you spray creeping Charlie and you spray your peonies, they're both going to die. So you want to be really careful. If it's in your lawn, don't worry about it. They're two different things. Broadleaf and the grass are two different things. Go ahead and you want to spray with something that says it's okay to use on creeping Charlie. When we get the first frost, it's a really good time to do it because the plants are really bringing all that energy from the sun and photosynthesizing like little crazy things and dragging all that energy into the root system, so they really pull that poison down. You may need to treat it again in the spring when it's flowering. Those are the best times to hit creeping Charlie.
Very good. Thank you, Mike. Ralph is calling in from Plymouth to ask Teresa Rooney a question. Ralph, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Hi, Ralph.
Morning. question on the birch trees. You know, their roots are exposing up to the surface. Is it okay to chew them down or not?
I would not. Usually birch don't have surface roots, but if they're bringing up their roots to the surface, there's a reason for that. Maybe it's a high water table or the soil's a little compacted. But you don't want to destroy roots that are on the surface. You don't want to cover them up. If you're mowing and you're scalping them, you may want to consider just planting maybe a little woodland garden under your birch tree and just reduce your mowing and make your lawn look really nice. And then you have a little wooden garden next to your lawn and it makes each one look a little bit better and you don't have to worry about those roots.
Phone number and the text number are the same. 651-989-9226. Here's the text, Teresa. Is it okay to put compost around the base of trees now?
It's always okay to top dress with compost. Make sure that when you're putting stuff around a tree, you keep it a good 2 to 3 inches away from the trunk of the tree so nothing ever touches the trunk of the tree. And you always want your tree to have the root flare so you can see where the first root would start to be coming out. You don't want to bury your tree like you would a tomato. But it's always okay to top dress around out where the roots are on the trees.
Okay. Let's see. Here's another text. I have Aphrodite hostas. I get beautiful blooms, huge, but they get brown and shriveled before they open to their beautiful aroma. They are in morning sun. How often to fertilize?
You know, hostas don't really need a lot of fertilizing. Just give them something in the spring if you want to. A little compost, top dressed a few times a year was working too. I'm not sure why they're browning like that.
Mm.
That's a little weird. But I noticed my hostas did something similar this year. They didn't open for very long and then they were brown really fast. I don't know if it was a wind. I don't know why it did that.
Okay. All right, let's see. Let's go back to the phones. And Bob is calling in from Circle Pines this morning. Bob, you're on with Teresa.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Excellent. So I have row of lilacs I planted as a windbreak, and they've kind of got out of control. They're like 8-9 feet high, wide. We can't even mow underneath them right now.
Mm-hmm.
When do I trim them back, and how far down can I trim them? I still want them as a windbreak, but I don't need them 8-9 feet
gotcha.
High.
Gotcha. Totally understand. Okay. So for everybody else out there, too, there's go to extension.umn.edu, and you can click on how to rehabilitate your big trees and shrubs. So what you want to do is in January, February, March, you want to look at how many branches, how many stems are coming out. You want to take a third of those stems right down to the ground. So if you have 21 stems, you're going to take out seven stems right down to the ground. And that will spur more growth to come up. So you get like a little thicket of new growth. And then you do that the next year and the next year. So after 3 years, you've cut down the whole thing to ground level. But you now have plants that are 3 to 5 feet tall and they are used to always get blooms every single year. If you don't want to do that, you can chop everything right down to the ground. You won't have blooms for 2 to 3 years, but then you'll have plants that are 3 to 5 feet tall, too. So you can do it in one chop or three.
Okay, very good. Teresa, we need to take our usual break here. We have another half hour of the show to go. If you want to call in your lawn or garden question, 651-989-9226, or send a text, same number, 651-989-9226. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Danny Longer here with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. And as usual, Teresa, we have callers, we have texters. So let's see how many folks.
I love our callers and texters.
We can help out. let's see who's been waiting. It would be Dave calling from Rosemont, I believe. Dave, you're on the CCO with Teresa.
Hi, Dave.
Yes, hi. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Great. What's your question?
Yeah, we've got this grass growing in our yard. It's called quack.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the only thing that kills it is Roundup, but Roundup kills everything. And the problem with this quack grass is it's everywhere in our yard. So if we use Roundup to kill it, we'd have to kill out our whole yard.
And
is there anything that they have right now that will kill that?
You know, you're going to have to use something like a grass be gone or something like the glyphosate that will take it out. Quack grass spreads by its roots. Every little bit of root that you leave in there will start another plant. It's a very aggressive plant. And I would go to the extension.umn.edu and click on the lawn and garden section and look at redoing your lawn. It'll give you some really good ideas about how to go about taking care of this and getting the quack grass and the weeds out and starting. It sounds like you're going to have to start from scratch or enjoy a lawn of quack grass. It's it's a tough weed to get rid of.
Yeah, it is. But I think you're right. And we've had to give that advice a lot that
yeah.
you have to destroy everything and start
Sometimes
over.
Sometimes you do. And that's a great time then to put in, you know, some trees and some garden beds and reduce your lawn size. So you have lawn that you still can handle. It looks great. And you have other things going on, too. So the yard looks a little more interesting.
Very good. Let's go to Owatonna, Minnesota. Paulette is there with a question for Teresa. Good morning, Paulette.
Good morning, Paulette.
Good morning. So I redid my backyard, mm-hmm. and I planted hostas everywhere, mm-hmm. and the deer have eaten them all. I live out in the country. Mm-hmm. We tried the egg-based deterrent, mm-hmm. which did absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I did hear about, I'm going to electric fence, if that's the next thing. But one thing I did hear was a motion detector water sprayer.
Yep, like the Scarecrow. That one will work. And you may want to do things a little, change things up a little bit. But of course, I wrote a book called Humane Critter Control. But you may want to change things up a little bit. You can use your motion activated water sprinkler. Lights sometimes help at night. Electric fences will work. Different fragrances of smells. Blood meal, maybe garlic one time. Plant skid another time. Things like deer or hinder. Things, you got to keep changing things up all the time. And physical barriers like deer netting, laying. If you know how the deer come into your lawn, into your yard all the time, you can lay chicken wire on the ground and they start walking on that and they don't like that. You can put up deer fencing in that area and then hopefully they'll go somewhere else. You've got to kind of start it early in the spring or late in the fall so they just don't get used to coming to that area. You don't want them to know where there's food there. So they know where it is now and they're going to come and keep coming. But it's a challenge
if you live
out in deer country. It's a challenge.
Yes.
You know.
They can do a lot of damage.
They can do a lot of damage. But then I was talking to a master gardener who has bears, so that's a little bit different.
And
at least the deer don't maul you.
And I think we've talked to Julie, who has friends mm-hmm. in Africa.
Yeah.
And they have
like lions and elephants.
They have elephants stomping through their garden.
Yeah. So a deer versus an elephant.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting off really easy here.
Texter says, can I save potting soil used for tomatoes and planters for next year?
You could. I might not use that for your tomatoes, maybe use it for something else. If you didn't have any diseases and everything grew fine, that's wonderful. I probably would not grow tomatoes in there again just because it's used up all the energy. Add a little bit of compost in there and go ahead and plant stuff.
Okay. By the way, if you want to send a text message to Teresa, it's 651-989-9226, same as the phone number. Another texter says, can a small 8-inch oak tree be replanted to a better location? How and when?
Yep, you could do that now. Dig up a really big root ball and go as deep as you possibly can because it may have a little bit of a root there. And try not to disturb the roots and just go ahead and move it. And then do protect it from in the wintertime. Put something around it, maybe chicken wire, so that the bunny and the deer don't eat it and the mice don't eat it.
Okay. Another texter says, I planted grass seed in a few bare areas around September 1st. Now, they're starting to come up slowly. Do I leave the burlap on through the winter or remove it and when?
So you can, if you want to carefully remove the burlap now, you can do that so that the grass doesn't really hold on to it, unless it was the kind of burlap where you're supposed to leave it on forever because it'll disintegrate. But go ahead and pull that up gently so you don't pull out the little seedlings. If you want, you can wait one more week just so they don't get really rooted in there. And then just keep watering it. And that'll be good.
I was telling you off the air that I tried for the first time to repair a certain area of my lawn that some workers damaged.
It happens.
And it does happen. And I did the whole seeding thing like you guys talk about. Mm-hmm. But I put I think they call it a seed blanket.
On it.
And it supposedly, like you said,
that
deteriorates.
Green stuff,
yeah.
It deteriorates and, it protects the seeds so that the migrating birds don't eat all your bird food out there.
But you got to keep it wet.
You've got to keep it damp because When seeds get damp, that breaks the seed coat and that wakes them up. Mm. If the seed never gets damp or doesn't stay damp long enough, it will never wake up and germinate.
Oh, makes sense. All right. Let's see. I was told, and Texter says this, I was told by a nursery I should have my birch and linden tree fertilized. What would be good for them?
Well, I don't want to say anything against the nursery. Trees don't really need fertilizing. They have a huge root system. They're going out looking for nutrition. If you want to do anything nice, you can always top dress with a little compost. More toward the drip line, that's where those feeder roots are. But really, your trees don't need fertilizing.
All right.
You know, especially if you're going to, you know, compost or let some of the leaves stay there. Mother Nature doesn't, you know, send out, you know, 10, 10, 10 fertilizer. She just, like, recycles those leaves.
All right. Good news. Texter says, I overwintered geraniums in the house. Could you please talk about how to ready the plants to come indoors, insecticide and or fungus soaps, etc.?
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay. So any of your plants outside that you want to bring in, your perennials or your annuals, what you want to do is move them into the shade now so they get used to less sunlight. And you want to keep watering them, everything else as you normally do. Then just before you bring them in, give them a really good bath. Make sure that they don't have any bugs or anything on them. Give them a good spray of water. If you're worried about a lot of insects, you can use an insecticidal soap. Remember to clean the pots, the bottom, and the saucers too. Then bring them into the house and keep them segregated from the rest of your plants for about 2 to 3 weeks. You want to make sure they didn't bring anything in. Once they're okay, you can move them into the sunniest areas of your home and enjoy them in the wintertime. And that's all. And don't fertilize them in the house unless they're actively growing, and you should be good.
If you have a kind of lawn and garden question you want to ask Teresa, you can call it in or text it in, same number, 651-989-9226. Another text says, I had a maple tree removed. Can I put Roundup on this area and then later lay down sod?
You don't have to do that.
I wouldn't think you'd have to do that.
The Roundup or the glyphosate, you have to put that on living tissue, on leaves, and that's what brings down the poison and kills everything. If you're worried that it's going to send suckers up, I wouldn't worry too much about that, because once you put down your sod, you know, I put down some compost and work that in, have a nice area, put down your sod, and then just take care of your sod. And as you mow, you will get rid of most of those suckers if they do happen to come up, but you don't need Roundup.
Good. Very good. Let's see. Another text, then we'll get back to the phones. My ever-bearing strawberries have mushy spots. What's causing this, and what can I do to prevent it this year?
Okay, mushy spots on the strawberries. I'm guessing that they were damaged. Maybe they got hit by hail. There may be some fungus out there, but they got damaged somehow. We had a lot of different hailstorms come through that could do it. They may have just been hit by wind or whatever, carrying rocks or little bits of stones and that. You know, it's probably not a problem that you're going to see every year. If you haven't seen it other years, I just make sure this year when you cut back your strawberries, that you clean up really good in the fall, get all the debris out of there, and then give them a good mulch layer. And then next spring, when you bring them out, give them some fertilizer or some compost, and just keep an eye out and make sure that they don't have funguses coming through.
All right. Very good. Let's go back to the phones. Let's see. Paul is calling in this morning with a question for Teresa. Paul, go ahead, please.
Hi, Paul.
Yeah. Hi, how you doing? Good morning.
I'm well. How are you?
Great. We're moving, and I have some rhubarb plants that I want to take with us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just moving from Owatonna to Corcoran,
mm-hmm.
and there's three plants I want to take with. And there's also, I also have a bed of columbine, and I'd like to know the best way to move them. Do I have to keep them in the house if I move them now and wait till it warms up?
When are you getting into your new home?
Well, we're in it now. Right now, we own
Okay. Okay, so if you can plant them now, that would be wonderful. Just dig them up. Try not to disturb the roots that much, and go ahead and plant them. If you don't really know where you want them at your new house, do a little temporary bed. Put everything in there. Plant it, your columbines, your rhubarb, everything in there. Keep it well watered. This winter, as the ground starts to freeze, maybe give it a little bit of extra cover of leaves. And then next spring, take the leaves off. And if you need to move the plants at that time because you figured out where you're going to put your garden, you can go ahead and do it. But dig them up now. Bring them to the new house. And good luck on your new house.
Yeah, good luck.
That's
thanks.
Cool.
Thanks for the call. Teresa, we'll need to take a quick break here. Let's rejoin our listeners by text and phone when we come back after this quick break. And good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, helping you out by phone and by text, as usual. And as usual, Teresa, we have a bunch of both. So let's get to them. Who has been waiting? It would be Joe calling in from Shoreview. Joe, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Hi, Joe.
Good morning. Thank you. I have an area on each side of my driveway where in wintertime there are large mounds of snow. And it seems like the chemistry in those areas of the soil may be changing because the grass just looks absolutely horrible. Is there anything I can do to change the chemistry or put some kind of certain fertilizer? My fear is, you know, that area gets lots of salt in the wintertime and the grass just looks horrible.
Yep. There's some options you can do, and people can use this on their boulevard too. What you might want to consider is laying down the white Remy, it's the floating roll cover fabric, right on the grass before the first snow falls. When you put your snow, then put the snow on top of it, and then as the snow melts, hopefully that will stop some of the salt from getting in. But if you're salting your driveway, there's a lot of salt in there and gravel, and that just kind of messes up the pH and everything in the soil. Also, you can top dress with compost, and then you would pull that off in the spring. You can also lay down a layer of leaves. That's what I would do. I would put down the floating roll cover and then put down a bunch of leaves and then put the snow on top of the leaves. That's what I meant to say. And then in the spring, as the snow melts, the leaves and the blanket will filter a lot of that salt out. And then you just take off the leaves and don't put them in your compost bin, but just send them to the city or whatever to compost and save the fabric for next year and use it again. Top dress with a little compost, and then you may need to reseed in those areas. You want to use a seed that's really good for salt tolerance, so look for that. And you may just want to maybe put a mulch in that area or grow some low-growing ground covers that can handle the salty areas. And there's a book called The Best Plants for 30 Tough Sites, and there is something, you can get that for free online. There are some boulevard ideas on there and plants that can take some of that salt.
You know, what we haven't done yet is given that U of M website.
extension.umn.edu. So if I can't get to you, you can't get to us, you can go to the extension site and just sit there and really enjoy
a lot
gardening.
Of good stuff on there.
Lots of good stuff.
Again, yeah. What is it exactly?
extension.umn.edu. And if you can't remember all of that, just say Hosta UMN, like University of Minnesota, it'll bring you to the site, or raspberries, or deer. So just use our university. They are amazing. They have done a lot of research. There's a lot of stuff there.
Great reading, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Tex says, is there a best time to transplant phlox?
When it's not blooming is the best time. So spring would be a best time. It's blooming now. It's not the best time, but sometimes you have to move stuff. So just try not to disturb it, move it, and it'll be fine.
Texter from Big Lake says this, does bee balm grow well in this area, and does it come in different colors?
Bee balm, Monarda, the Big Lake, they said, right? Okay.
Yes.
Monarda is really hardy in our area. It can take a little bit of sun, a little bit of shade, and there are all kinds of different ones. There's tall ones and short ones and pink ones and dark red ones, and some are more resistant to powdery mildew, and they're absolutely beautiful, and grow them.
Is there a benefit, Texter says, to putting the remainder of my preen down now? Maybe works into spring?
No. Don't
do it.
You'll be wasting it. There's not much starting to grow now from seed except your grass, and you don't want to put that on. And it would be gone by that time. It would be washed away. Don't do it.
All right. We have, Texter says, horseweed. You know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
Growing abundantly in our wildflower garden, which was planted 3 years ago. It isn't anywhere else in our 20-plus acre property.
Mm-hmm.
Any suggestions to eradicate? We have been hand-pulling and clipping. Must have come with a wildflower seed was previously a vegetable garden area.
Or it could have just been blown into. I would just keep hand-pulling it and try to get as much out as you could. I had one growing in my yard one time. I didn't know what it was. I thought, oh, this cool plant, it's getting really big. And there was a reason it got really big, because it was a weed.
It was a weed.
So I'm well familiar with horseweed.
Teresa, a texter wants to know, how do I move a spruce tree?
It depends. It depends on how big it is. If it's if it's really big, you're going to have to get a tree spade. And I wouldn't move it now. I'd wait till spring, or unless you can get it done this week. They're going to take 8 weeks to get used to being where they are because they're evergreens. And that means 8 weeks before the ground freezes. Otherwise, you just move it at the biggest of the root system as you possibly can. If you want to wait till spring, you could do a root pruning now where you just sink your shovel in, one shovel deep, all the way around the tree, the root system that you'll want to save. And keep it really well watered this fall. And then in spring, go ahead and recut that area and then cut deeper and bring up the bottom of the roots and pull up the whole thing and then move it.
Okay. Now, what was the name of your book about the critters?
Humane Critter Control.
Humane Critter Control. Mm-hmm. Now, here's a text that you might be able to answer. Is there anything I can add to my soil to get rid of grubs?
There are things that you can put in the soil that will get rid of grubs. They often kill a lot of other things in the soil. Molds will come and eat a lot of the grubs. So you kind of have to figure out what the problem is. How bad is it? Where are the grubs? If they're killing your lawn, you may want to use a problem that or a product that does kill the grubs. But again, that's going to impact a lot of the other things.
Do you think hosta, this is a text now, think hostas around oak trees is okay?
Yes.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
No, it hurts neither.
It hurts neither, yeah. And also those nuts, the nuts we can grow here, the little, anyway, it doesn't matter. Our native, we have native nuts, and I'm just the little round, hazelnuts.
Oh, really?
Hazelnuts and oak trees are a good combination, too.
How about that?
Yep.
I have a 4-foot burr oak tree, Texter says, that I want to transplant. When would be the best time to do that?
You can do it now. Just move it, disturb the roots as little as possible, and move it. Otherwise, move it first thing in the spring.
Another Texter says, can I cut my raspberry plants down now and to what height?
Nope, now is not a good time. Anything that's dead, you can cut it out now. Otherwise, I would go to extension.umn.edu, click on the garden tab, and go to the raspberries. They have a really great 4-page raspberry article, and it will tell you how and when to cut them down. It'll be done late winter, early spring.
All right, another texter wants to know, what may be eating my low-growing plants in the garden? There are small holes in all my plants, in particular a garden. In a particular garden, this occurred early in the spring.
Mm-hmm. Early in the spring, it was probably little caterpillars. And don't be mad at the caterpillars because those are really baby bird food. So be really happy that you had caterpillars that the birds could come and take and bring to their babies and feed their babies. And as you notice, if that happened in the spring, your plants are still looking good now. It's fine. It's not a big deal. So be happy that you were able to feed caterpillars that then fed birds and you had more bird wildlife and everything.
Here's a lawn question. I don't have time, Texter says, to aerate this fall. Can I do it in the spring?
You can. It's not the best time. I would wait till maybe next spring or next fall.
Next
then.
Fall.
Mm-hmm.
Pass on that for this fall. What is causing the leaves on black-eyed Susans to turn brown? Can I cut the stems off peonies? Well, there are two questions here.
Okay.
Because of powdery mildew.
You know, I'd leave the powdery mildew peonies alone until they're killed by the frost, then cut them down. You always want to clear up your peonies every year down to the soil and toss that to the city compost. Your black-eyed rudbeckias probably have a fungal disease, which is really typical for them. If you can get more air circulation, that's good. Around the plants, thin them out a little bit or use fungicides in the spring. Maybe midsummer, start using that. Otherwise, it's just something they always get. It just is what black-eyed Susans get.
And maybe in 30 seconds, you can tell folks again who want to be a master gardener how they can
yes.
do that.
So if you want to be a master gardener, contact your extension office, your local master gardeners. If you see them out at the garden centers or the farmers markets, talk to them there and put in your application.
I bet you might even find a few at the Arboretum.
Let's talk plants out at the Arboretum, and we still have master gardeners here in the cities at most of the farmers markets till they're done.
Outstanding. Good to see you again, Teresa.
Good to see you,
Thank
Denny.
You so much.
Take care.
We'll see you down the road, Teresa Rooney, master gardener, visiting with us this morning.